Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Sons of a Gun, a podcast about the DC Universe. I'm Alex Gunn.
I'm Justin Gunn.
And on this podcast, we're going to be jumping into a bunch of news topics. If you've got tips or stories you want us to cover, you can email us at comicbookclublive@gmail.com. But let's kick it off with a big one.
Well, let me ask you before that. Yeah, do you feel like we're taking advantage of things by, we always say our last name on this? You know, because in person, I usually just say, like, I'm Justin, but I really say I'm Justin Gunn.
I usually introduce myself as Mr. Gunn Jr.
Oh, really? Mr. Gunn Jr.
Yes.
Wow.
Is that awkward? I'm like, no. Please call me Mr. Gunn Jr. because is
you
my father.
Know.
You know, well, is my father.
Then you're definitely taking advantage of it.
Yeah. Dad's in Norway, by the way, but we won't get into that. Teen Titans is getting a live action movie. There was a writer announced. It's Ann Nogueira, who is also writing Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow. And I got to say, just up front, I cannot wait to finally see the Titans in live action. That's going to be great.
You've been dreaming of it since you had that full lobotomy like 3 months ago. So it makes a lot of sense. It's great that dreams can come true, like you getting Titans on screen.
Yes, it is, in all honesty, pretty funny that we were talking about this a week or two ago on the podcast, saying, sure, they got to be developing this somewhere. And then they are. In fact, they're writing it. They're working on it. It also was funny, and I will fully admit I completely forgot about Titans, the Max show. But in
the DC Universe show, let's give credit.
Sure. DC Universe streaming service show, everybody's favorite streaming service, which was actually pretty good. I liked it. But they in the THR story where they announced this, where they exclusively revealed this, they also didn't mention Titans in there anywhere, which was very funny to me. That's all.
Written by Alex Albin.
Yes.
Alex Gunn Jr. Mr. Gunn Jr.
Well, what do you think about this? Are you excited about a Teen Titans movie? I've seen a little griping about, like, yo, what are they doing with the DCU? They can't keep announcing stuff. But we're not actually getting the stuff for a while. A lot of back and forth there. What's your take?
Yeah, I think, the announcing stuff before we get stuff is like superhero movie. It's the way we do things. It's just business. And, you know, I think they are doing a Marvel model reset. They're just going to try to do it better than Marvel. Marvel's also doing a Marvel reset right now as well, funnily enough. But I think it's really just going to be a big tonal change and a finish the script, creative upfront change, I think. So I'm excited. I think this will be a brighter, shinier Titans. Hard to be darker than the Titans TV show, I think. So that's exciting. And that, I think, is more close to the actual characters from the comics.
I think mostly people probably upset that it didn't come from James Gunn's Threads account or anything like this, that this was more of a traditional we have it in development thing, because I think we've actually gotten used to James Gunn being the one and only source of DC news. So frankly, it was kind of refreshing to just have a typical, yep, they're working on this. This is in development. It's being written. No timeline. Nobody knows when it's going to come out. We don't know what stage the script is in or anything like that. Just that it's getting worked on. The other thing, just to pit DC and Marvel, that I thought was interesting over on Marvel Vision, our Marvel podcast, We've talked a lot about how they seem to be very clearly heading towards a young Avengers movie, but taking their sweet time there.
Yeah.
There's a world where a young Avengers movie and a Teen Titans movie come out of the same year, right? Head to head.
Yeah. The youth uprising. And what the real battle is, it's like Dune 2 has established, it feels like it's like, hey, look, Hollywood's, here's a whole new class of Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And everybody likes it. And the Oscars, I feel like, reflected that. If they can somehow make these movies come out at the same time and, you know, be minting new movie stars at the same time they're really putting these other sort of more established movie stars into, like, big roles like this, that's super exciting. Competition is good.
Let me throw this out to you, just because you brought up Dune and this whole new crop of Hollywood stars. I feel like they need a name, like the Brat Pack. I'm going to throw out the Dune Dudes. What do you think?
Oh, that's fun. Yeah. Dune Dudes. That's very specific to an army. Not that being called the Brat Pack is especially flattering.
Yeah. There's the other one that Tobey Maguire was part of, but we won't mention this here. That's a family podcast.
Yeah.
The Batman Part 2, on the other hand, was delayed until October 2nd, 2026. They are working on it. They are going to shoot it. The delay was partially blamed on the strikes. It slowed them down in terms of the writing and everything is what they said. I saw somebody speculating. They announced they're maybe working on a Twilight animated series, and somebody was speculating this was to give Robert Pattinson time to do the voice.
He has to do one voice at a time.
Yeah,
he gets deep into roles, I guess.
But what do you think about this? We're now getting on several years from the Batman Part One. What's your take?
I mean, I do. When I saw this, I was like, "Wow, that's a long time," and it's a long time to hold up other Batman properties. Like, they're not going to hold Brave and the Bold that long. Do you think?
Well, that gets to a later news item I wanted to bring up, which is Andy and Barbara Muschietti started a new horror shingle, not to use the Hollywood term, but they started a new horror label that they're working on. And in that article, this was, again, from the Hollywood Reporter, it said that they are developing The Brave and the Bold, but haven't committed to their next feature yet. So, similar to a lot of, I agree with you. I don't think they're going to hold up The Brave and the Bold for Batman Part 2, but both of these movies just keep getting pushed down the field to the point where, very similar to our Young Avengers Teen Titans thing, there's also a world where like two Batman movies are coming out in 1 year, and that's maybe a little weird.
I think that's bad. Well, Young Avengers Teen Titans, good. Competition, different things. Two Batman movies with two different Batmen and different tones to them, I think that's bad. And I think what we want Batman 2 to come out first and sort of sew that up. Maybe Matt Reeves has a third one, but maybe he will or will not get to make it, or it'll become like something that's a boutique thing way further down. Like the way that the Dune Part 3 feels
like a nice little boutique Batman movie.
Well, but I just mean like it has to go in a direction. All this stuff can't be happening at once, I don't think, because, you know, everything can be too interconnected, like I think Marvel's been struggling with. But if it's too disparate, that's also confusing. There's a sweet spot in the middle. So I don't know. This was definitely more of a cause for concern of all the news I was reading.
Going back to what we were talking about, I think last week with this movie, I love the Batman and I do want to give them all the time they need to get the movie really right, the sequel. But at the same time, as I saw multiple folks point out, this is supposed to be the younger, feel it is roots Batman trying to figure out how to operate. And by the time they do this movie, Robert Pattinson's going to be 40 years old. So,
yeah.
Well, I don't know. Hurry up a little bit, I guess.
Yeah.
Next thing, this one people have thrown a little doubt on, but James Gunn on his Threads account was showing off some footage that he was showing some helicopter shots where they're filming in Norway with the Fortress of Solitude scenes. And somebody asked him, hey, how much of this is going to be in IMAX? And he said he's shooting it entirely at IMAX, which sounds wild. A couple of people I saw posted were like, he must mean shot for IMAX, meaning there will be scenes in IMAX, but what if, I mean, I don't know. I could see them releasing a Superman movie entirely shot in IMAX. That would be wild.
Yeah, I mean, I do think stuff like that, I don't know what the expense difference is, and if it's crazy, maybe they wouldn't do it, but like event movie making is the thing now. Mm-hmm. To do that, to shoot this whole thing in IMAX, still seems unlikely to me, but maybe it's like, hey, man, you get to see the whole thing in as big as possible.
Mm-hmm. As far as I understand it, beyond the expense of the film and everything, IMAX cameras are very noisy because they're so large. So it makes it more difficult to film everything. Apparently, there's a lot of more ADR that goes on because you got to fill in that stuff just because you got the cameras in the background humming. So that's why normally they don't film everything in IMAX. But I don't know. I, like you're saying, they want to make this a guaranteed hit. This has to be a hit. They're kicking off 10 years of filmmaking that they want to do and they want to release with the DCU. And the way you do that is you release it in IMAX theaters, you release it 3D, you release things that jack up the price, you make it an event. I think, you know, not to talk about another production, but like, part of the reason beyond Barbenheimer that Oppenheimer was successful is it became this thing that you had to see in a movie theater because it was so big. And
exactly.
That's what you want to do with the Superman. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Moving on to another part of that filming schedule, Peacemaker season 2 reportedly begins in June. Now, James Gunn already.
We predicted this. We knew it.
We knew it. We did. This is – James Gunn had already talked a little bit about it. It was coming out in the summer. But according to Production Weekly, which grain of salt, sometimes they're working off stuff that is not entirely accurate. But this feels right-ish to me. They say that it's going to film from June through September. We do know that James Gunn, of course, is on Superman right now, which is supposed to be filming until about August or so. James also said that he is not going to be directing all of it. There will be overlap, but he's hoping to direct a little bit. So I could see that schedule. You got the gap between August and September, however much they're doing a Peacemaker in September. He comes in, he films the last two episodes or the finale or something like that.
Yeah, or maybe, I mean, I guess, who knows? It depends on how they're shooting, but you sort of want him to film the first one. If he's doing the first and the last, but that'd be shooting wildly out of order. Maybe they'll push it back a little bit. Who knows? But, you know, coming off of Superman in August and then finishing Peacemaker in September, you're going to be tired, guy.
Yeah. Well, he's got to keep going. He's got to keep going for the next 10 years. He doesn't get a break. He's in charge of the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, you don't have to do it like two jobs at once. You know, when you're building a bridge, you're not building the top and the bottom.
Really? Right? You don't aim towards the middle?
I mean, I would definitely want to be on the bottom team.
You want to hear that nice click when you meet in the middle.
Like a seatbelt coming together. Click, bridge is done, cut the ribbon, cars start driving. That's what I'm saying.
Let's also talk a little bit about the continuity here. I can't remember whether we talked about this in the last podcast or not, and I definitely should have checked, but there's still a lot of confusion about how all of this is going to work together, particularly because Peacemaker season 2 is coming out ostensibly after Superman. So, James, I haven't written down the quotes from James Gunn necessarily, but basically the way that he's described it is, yes, Peacemaker season 1 happened, but it is not strictly canon with the new DCU established by Superman. Peacemaker season 2, however, will be. And the last little thing here is Waller, which was initially supposed to be Peacemaker season 1.5, is now going to take place after both Superman and Peacemaker season 2. So are you confused by that, or do you feel like it all makes sense?
I think it is confusing, yes, but here's what it is. It's not going to be as directly tied in, I think. Unlike the way that a lot of Marvel and previous DC stuff where it was like, oh, you get your nod for the next thing in the movie, I think it's just going to be like, this is all in the same world and maybe there'll be a little touch, but it's not so prescriptive that it's like, here's the scene that gets you to the next movie and the next TV show so directly, because I think that's lame now. I think that's become not cool, and people it makes a lot of this stuff feel like homework because mm-hmm. it just got hit too hard. So I think James's idea, I would guess, is like, let's just make everything awesome and connected as much as we want to.
I totally agree with that. I think it's breaking comic book fans' brains a little bit because you had that pseudo Justice League cameo at the end of Peacemaker season one. You had Jason Momoa show up and Ezra Miller show up. So I've seen some people post things like they've got to go back and refilm that with the new actors. 100%. Absolutely do not. Are not going to do that. Are not going to retcon anything or change anything. Like you're saying, it is this loose continuity that might be hard for people that are more ordered in their brains, like we are, as fans of the comic books, as fans of the movies, as fans like intricately familiar with the continuity. But most people are just watching Peacemaker and enjoying it, and they'll roll with it. Maybe they'll be a reference here and there, but that's it. I think a good model is probably Suicide Squad to The Suicide Squad, which, yes, they were connected, but also not at all, and it didn't matter. It's just reusing the actors. And I think, I don't know, I thought that worked. I know other people disagree, but, like, I think that's the approach he's taking, where we're not contradicting anything necessarily, but, like you're saying, we're rolling with whatever is the most fun to do.
And I'll mention something that is a little bit mixing up our peas and carrots, but I've been rewatching the X-Men cartoon for the new X-Men 97 show. And the way that they do connectivity and Easter eggs is just, hey, look, did you see this thing? It's Ghost Rider for 1 second. And there's no, it just blows past it, blink and you'll miss it. And I think that's actually, I was like, oh, this is so cool. Like, in the middle of a big fight in Genosha, you see, like, half of X-Force is there from the comics, like Ron Sinclair, like, all the Richter, all these characters that, like, I know, but you don't need to know them. You just need to see that there's mutants fighting. And I think that model of going forward where it's just a little cooler, it's less like, you know, look, everybody, there's Iron Man, or there's, you know, this, there's Mr. Freeze. It's very much like, hey, everyone who's cool gets it. And if you don't get it, it's fine. The story stands on its own.
Yeah, I think a little bit of that goes back to, like you're saying, the older way of doing this stuff where it was not about, hey, we are setting up a cinematic universe so much as, yeah, if you catch this, you catch this. And if you don't, you don't. Maybe we'll follow up on it or not. So we'll see what happens. Speaking of being done with things, though, Patty Jenkins says she is done with Wonder Woman. She went on Max's Talking Pictures podcast and said that her Wonder Woman journey is over for the time being, easily forever. They aren't interested in doing any Wonder Woman for the time being. It's not an easy task with what's going on with DC. James Gunn and Peter Safran have to follow their own heart into their own plans. I don't know what they are planning on doing or why, so I have sympathy for what a big job it is and what they have to follow their heart and do what they've got planned. So there you go.
There it is.
Are you bummed? Are you bummed that Patty Jenkins is not coming back for Wonder Woman?
I mean, definitely too bad, but also like entirely predictable. Mm-hmm. Like I'm surprised that this is sort of coming out now when it feels like they maybe should have just controlled this story a little bit more. But I guess, I don't know. It doesn't feel like they're like, they have a big picture, but they're not so careful about how they're laying it out, except for, especially through James Gunn's threads.
To your point, the Wonder Woman thing is weird. It feels like the messaging got convoluted there in terms of what they said to Patty Jenkins or what somebody said to Patty Jenkins. Yeah. Same thing with Gal Gadot, where she gave some interview. She's like, I think it's still on. It's not. Clearly, she is not Wonder Woman. Patty Jenkins is not directing it. I do wonder, we know there was supposed to be the Themyscira show that they were working on. We haven't heard a lot about that necessarily. And that seems like a big, intricate deal that you really want to be working on very carefully. But also, we've got multiple Batmans, like we've talked about on this podcast. We have Superman as the big deal. Where's Wonder Woman? You know, I think they should be working on that in some way. It's important to throw in there. And it's a little bit of a bummer to me that she is always the tertiary character. And if that, you know, they run through all of the male characters and eventually they're like, oh yeah, I guess we should do Wonder Woman. Let's see what happens.
Throw her in the Flash for a second. That's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I also think since they even announced that Themyscira show, TV has changed greatly. Like, there's people aren't spending as much money on TV. There's not as much happening. The budgets for big shows aren't as big. So, like, does that change? The Themyscira show felt like their Game of Thrones play. Maybe they're not doing that anymore. TV has changed enough that they might be moving that model.
Yeah, I do wonder, you know, Tom King, clearly a big architect helping with all of this DC stuff. He's on the current run of Wonder Woman. I don't see them doing a direct one-to-one adaptation of what he's doing, but I have to imagine whatever their plans are, that's clearly top of mind for him. And if he has James Gunn's ear, there's some movement there. We just don't know what it is.
And that's a topical idea, the idea that sort of Themyscira and Wonder Woman and the Amazons become these like hated people in the DC universe that feels sort of political in a way and a way to cover something a little edgier for a superhero movie. But it's tricky. It's also tricky to do it that way.
We'll see. Last story we're going to talk about today. This is a very light one. Karen Gillan wants to play Poison Ivy. However, she's not going to push for it. The exact quote was, "I like to leave things up to the universe a little bit and see what happens, but I would absolutely love to work with James again. He's the best." Would you like to see Karen Gillan as Poison Ivy?
Yeah, she's cool. I think she's great. I think, isn't she? She's married to someone we know.
Yes, Nick Kocher.
I believe. Yeah. Nick Kocher from Britannic, the sketch group. So she's out there, comedy adjacent. She's in the game. I love to see it. She's fun. She'll occasionally show up and do bits in their show. And she does their most recent show. She's the voice on the phone, sort of in an uncredited role.
Yeah. She's very funny. She's a great actress. I don't know. I'd see her and Margot Robbie together if that's somebody that continues. I think that would be a fun pairing. So we'll see what happens.
There it is.
And once again, if you got tips or stories you want us to cover, you can email us at comicbookclublive@gmail.com. We do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Facebook and YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about DC stuff. Apple, Spotify, Android, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show at Comic Book Live on Twitter/X, Comic Book Club Live on TikTok and Instagram, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, Dad, stay warm. It is cold in Norway.
Yes. I'm also just getting word that you don't build bridges and meet in the middle because all my bridges fell down.
I have some calls to make.
Yeah, we have some calls.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.